When it rains, there is a song. And when it snows, or when they want food, or when something dies. Sad songs, happy songs, duets, trios. Sometimes all the dogs trying to harmonize, except the young ones who think they can sing but can't, and throw their heads back and try to look adult but sing off-key and with the wrong timing. They live in sound, always in noise. Perhaps because it is so constant, the art of listening to them falls off, and so many things that they say are not heard are swallowed in the overall sound. An interesting aside, people know the sounds of their own dogs the way mothers know the cry of their babies. At one checkpoint during the Iditarod during a mandatory layover, some 700 or 800 dogs were all in the area not much larger than a football field. The din was constant, deafening, and yet if a man or woman inside the building heard the sound of his or her own dog in the cacophony, even if the person was fast asleep, they were up and out the door instantly. But this quiet night, with the wind gone and even the fire muted somehow by the dark, I could hear, and for the first time I think truly listen to them. There were some growls, low and soft, envy from the young males who wanted to fight and show they had shoulders and thick necks, quiet whines of interest from others, and then above all, the soft sounds from Cookie and Rex. I thought of the word love. There are, of course, many who would dispute it, many who would say dogs simply mate and that only people love. And it's perhaps true that I would have said the same thing before that night. But the sounds were sweet, soft, gentle, not whined so much as terms of endearment, courtesy, and hope. They made me think of all the good parts of living and loving, how two can honestly become one, how we have made it all seem pointless with posturing and fashion and frills, but that it is not frivolous. It is as old and meaningful as time, and it has all to do with the one thing that we are on earth to do, to make more, to make better, to bring new beings into it, into life. All there, sitting by the fire, while two people, I still cannot think of them as dogs, loved and were in some way that I could not understand sacred, all there listening to God making puppies. Nativity. It came in a wild storm, the litter, which did not help to lessen my concern. I had carefully noted the day when the puppies were conceived and knew that Cookie was as regular as a clock, 65 days, when it came to gestation. But 65 days put a smack in the middle of January. January in northern Minnesota is literally a hard time. Everything is brittle, difficult. It is paradoxically the very best time to run dogs because it is cuttingly cold, which the dogs love and work best in. And the snow is clean and deep enough to be easy on the sleds. Everything else is hard. At 40, 50 below, vehicles don't start, tires freeze and break. Pipes, even those protected by straw and buried deep, freeze solid. Hot water must be carried to the dogs, who dehydrate in the dry air of winter, and the old water must be literally chopped out of their pans with an axe. The water is mixed with beef blood to lure them into drinking it fast before it freezes again within 8 or 9 minutes, and this process must be done twice a day while running team after team to train for the race and cooking dog food each evening to feed the next day. And in the middle of January, when it is the busiest, when there is no time, not a minute to spare, and everything is pushed to the absolute limits of its performance envelope, smack in the middle, there came one of the worst blizzards I have ever seen. It roared down from the north, driven by a dropping cold front called an Alberta Clipper. The winds kicked up to 60, 70 miles an hour, and the true temperature, with driven snow, dropped to 40 below, wind chill making it close to 100 below. Just feeding the dogs became difficult, almost impossible. We had 40-some dogs then, and I used a snowmobile to pull a freight sled loaded with dog food out to the kennel and run down the rows of dogs to feed them. It was so dark, and the driving snow made visibility so bad that twice I missed the kennel altogether and wound up stuck in the woods west of the dogs. It was the kind of storm you often read about but never see, except this time it was real. And at the high point, at the very worst peak of the meanest part of the storm, Cookie was due to have her puppies. My worry turned to something on the edge of panic. She was in her doghouse, her chain disconnected, and fresh straw had fluffed in. But the storm was so intense, I did not see how she could keep the puppies. They are, of course, wet when they come out, from freezing solid. I thought of moving her into the house, but it would be too warm and unhealthy. The dogs' winter coats were in full prime by then, and being in a warm room could do worse than sicken them. It could kill a winter dog to bring him in. The heat would be murderous. The solution came as I ran the snowmobile past the stack of straw bales